Hi, welcome to Sunday with Sammy. I am Samantha.
The Ash Wednesday reading for this year is from John's Gospel, chapter 8, and I'm going to concentrate particularly on verse 7. What's interesting about this passage is that it didn't actually make it into the Bible until the 3rd century. It's unlike the usual way that the rest of this Gospel is written, ignoring the pro and epilogues. We will cover these another time. But if you get the chance, do have a look at the ending of John's Gospel, all three of them. It is thought that the copyist who inserted it here was possibly trying to illustrate Jesus saying that he will pass judgment on no one, which you'll find later in the chapter, in verse 15. Anyway, Jesus had returned from the Mount of Olives and is being harassed yet again by the Pharisees. They've brought a woman to him who they claim had been caught committing adultery. Nothing is ever said about the man with whom the alleged crime took place, you'll notice. This married woman knows there's a very high chance of being killed by the then common practice of stoning under the guise of the law of Moses, as is written in Deuteronomy 22. The Pharisees tell Jesus this has to be the outcome and are trying to test him again. They want him to either go against the word of Moses, and as a teacher of the Jewish faith, of course, he could not. Or they want him to go against the authority of Rome, as Roman law had deprived the Jews of their rights to stone people to death. They thought they had him. The Gospel says, when they persisted in questioning him, he straightened up and told them, "Let the person among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." In the same situation now, knowing what we do, as the woman, you would be petrified. It's a wonderful thing to say, and I think it should be said more nowadays. Okay then. The one of you who's without sin and has never done anything wrong can judge. That would certainly make people stop and think before acting in certain ways. Of course, there was someone there who was without sin, Jesus. And he, and only he, had every right to cast that first stone. Oh, and we can only imagine the carnage that would have occurred after that had he done it. What would have happened if one of the Pharisees had cottoned onto this, picked up a stone, handed it to Jesus and said, "Here you go then." But they didn't, thankfully, because they understood not a jot of whose company they were truly in. There's a wonderful part when Jesus seems to simply ignore them and starts to write on the ground with his finger. We're not told what or really why. And there are many, many schools of thought about this. But in Jeremiah 17:13, in some translations, it's written, "Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth, for they have forsaken the Lord." But anyway, in the Pharisees trying to get Jesus on the back foot and make a mistake, his calm demeanour must have had them all hopping from foot to foot in madness. So, Christ neither found fault with the law, nor excuse the woman's guilt, nor did he tolerate the pretended zeal of the Pharisees. People are actually self-condemned who judge others, and yet do the same thing. All who are in any way called to blame the fault of others are especially concerned and need to look out for themselves and keep themselves and their lives in order. In this situation, Jesus did precisely what he came into the world to do, and that was to bring sinners to repentance, not to destroy, but to save. He aimed to bring not only the accused to repentance, by showing this woman his mercy, but the prosecutors also, by showing them their sins. They thought to ensnare him. He sought to convince and convert them. Checkmate to Jesus. And he declined to meddle with the magistrate's office. Many crimes merit far more severe punishment than they meet, but that isn't for us to concern ourselves with. When Christ sent the woman away, it was with this caution: go and sin no more. If you can help to save the life of a criminal, you must also help to save their soul with the same care. They are truly happy whom Christ does not condemn, and as we moan that our own lives could be so much better, they could, remember, be so much worse. When I think about when Jesus was writing in the dust, the following Lenten poem by George Herbert springs to mind. Lord, who hast formed me out of mud, and hast redeemed me through thy blood, and sanctified me to do good. Purge all my sins done heretofore, for I confess my heavy score, and I will strive to sin no more. Enrich my heart, mouth, hands in me, with faith, with hope, with charity, that I may run, rise, rest with thee. May God bless and keep us all safe, healthy, and if ever able to cast a stone, be always unwilling to do so. Christ's favour to us is in the forgiveness of past sins. So go then, and as Jesus said to the woman, sin no more. Amen.